Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Any of these nicknames for Jamal's shot sticking with you? So you like the Hail Murray. It's got to be something that flows. Like the drive just is so perfect.
The Hail Murray flows.
The Hail Murray does flow. Was it the Laker killer?
Karen killer.
The Karen killer, because you called the Lakers the Karens of the NBA.
Gosh. Wasn't there another one, though? It was like Lakers something or other. It was like in the first segment.
Laker dagger?
I'll go back and listen.
I'll let you know. Go back and you can. I'll take a look at the text line. Let's see what else. I do think, as we try to figure it out, one thing I do hope that happens. You know what needs to become a meme? The crying Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
Is AD sitting amongst
the
Nuggets bench after the shot's gone.
The disgusted.
That look. It's perfect. Because the Nuggets, all the coaches and players, all their gear was darker that night. So AD just stands out in that bright yellow uniform. Just him just sitting there with that look on his face. It's just like, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah.
That should replace crying Jordan.
The brow buzzer.
The brow beater.
Like that.
I like the one that we were talking about during the break. The Shawshank.
The Shawshank.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. That probably doesn't need explanation.
Probably doesn't need it.
But I'll give
it to you. If you need it, we'll go one more. We can just call that shot the sisters.
The sisters. The brow beater's
kind of.
I like that.
I like the brow beater. That's not bad. Laker Slayer. The Miracle.
The Miracle. Miracle.
It was Laker Breaker.
Laker Breaker. Because there is part of me, I still kind of need to be talked into the idea that this shot, it was a great shot. It was a great moment. And it was certainly nothing that we'll ever forget. But I'm having a hard time putting it up there with these all-time great moments and finishes and walk-offs, because we're talking about game two, round one of a team that I expect to be winning another championship this year. You know what I'm saying? I know it's the Lakers, and because it's the Lakers, it brings about a certain kind of emotion. But I just think the Nuggets are at a point where the standard is so much higher that I expect to beat the Lakers. And so a buzzer beater, round one, game two, while loving it, I just don't know if it, should be up there in the upper pantheon of, all-time great Denver sports.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If the Nuggets go on to sweep the Lakers in this series, and from that point forward, they break up the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does break the Lakers.
Yep.
That shot will grow as the time moves on, especially if they win another championship. That, the whole Laker breaker aspect of that, what it does to the Lakers as a franchise.
But should that be the driving force here? The idea that
what it did
to the Lakers?
Sure. And it propelled you in a game where you really weren't playing well, just showed your toughness and everything else, and propelled you to go on to win your second NBA championship.
But that was the second of 16 wins. They got 14 more wins that are coming their way.
I understand.
And you got to think about all the things that are going to go into these next 14 wins and the next, next three series after this one. Boy, if you guys want to fire the Jinxie cat, go ahead, because I'm embracing it. There's just so many more moments that are coming our way that I just don't know if I mean, this is going to be part of it. This is when you go back and look at the 2024, you know, Denver Nuggets NBA championship highlight package. Of course, this is. But do you think that? All right, let me put it this way. Okay,
hello, James.
Right, let's put it this way. Let's put it this way. We assume we expect the Nuggets to win another championship, right?
Yes.
With the next 14 wins that are still out there and all the moments and memories that are to be made, when the Nuggets win another championship, do you think the crowning last highlight of that highlight package should be Jamal's shot?
Ooh, probably not.
Probably not.
There's some other ones in here.
What do you got?
Just Laker drainer, the mic drop. This one doesn't make any sense. The floater. What does not flushing have to do with that shot? I don't understand that.
I like some of the ones off the Who's Your Daddy theme.
How about this?
The paternity test.
How about this one? I just made this. This just popped into my head.
Oh, you made it up.
Just came to me. 52 Haiti.
Oh, jeez.
It's a good one.
Rogue. Fever.
No, whoa. No. That's kind of a dad. No, that's a dad one, right?
No.
Haterade.
No. Go ahead.
52 Hater.
Rogue, give me your best, what is it, unimpressive?
Underwhelming?
Underwhelming. Yes, give me your best underwhelming.
That's
dripping with snark.
I don't understand what you're asking me to do.
Just say, what do you think of his 52 Haiti?
That's terrible.
It's not even...
Wow, Rogue.
Wow. That was just cold. That was Jamal Murray.
I know.
Cold. Wait, what's your inspo behind that?
Well, they were wearing the 5280 jerseys when he hit that shot. So it's 52 Haiti. No?
I bet Rogue thinks Jamal Murray needs to write an apology letter to the Lakers.
For hitting that shot? Right.
For making
their hearts.
Yeah,
terrible.
Because we've been there.
Yeah.
Sounds like Mike is just hating on Jamal's greatness. No, far, far from it. In fact, I believe so much in Jamal's greatness that I think Jamal has about four or five more moments like this coming up in this playoff run in games that will be more important.
Yeah, he was Jabalin.
Oh, God. See,
this is
why I'm glad you said what you said.
Oh, no, God, please,
because
no.
If you said anything else, Rogue, all you would do is encourage him. And it's not like you've stopped him, but at least you didn't encourage him. So, Cecil Lammy's going to join us at 9:30. His one and only mock draft comes out always on the morning of the draft. We'll go into that with him. But some more takes on coming up tonight, the draft. What has to happen? There's the question for all of you. What has to happen for you as a Bronco fan to be happy with what goes down tonight? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
About, 9 hours away from the start of the NFL draft. And no matter what you may think about the NFL draft, whether you think it's a crapshoot, 50-50 proposition, overrated, over-exaggerated, over-inflated, or legit, it does matter. Because, and we're going to have Cecil on at 9:30. Cecil hates it when I call the NFL draft a crapshoot, but it is. There's over 250 guys selected, and when it's all said and done, what, maybe a third of them, maybe 25% of them will go on to have solid NFL careers?
Yeah, probably.
But even while I say that, I do recognize the importance of the draft, because while it may be a crapshoot, let's face it, there are some teams out there that do the crapshoot better and improve the odds a little bit more in their favor than most other teams do. And so from that standpoint, I do recognize the importance of the draft. So what, for you, just you personally, Mark Schlereth, what will constitute a successful night for the Denver Broncos for you?
A successful night is, so we're only doing the first rounder.
Just the first round.
Okay. Successful night in the first round is we find ourselves a long-term above-average starter who signs a second contract.
Okay. And that doesn't have to be a quarterback.
No.
Nope. Just a football player.
Just a guy that's going to be a long-term starter that will sign a second, will be happy to sign him to a second contract.
Okay.
How about you?
It'll be a successful night for me if the Broncos are able to trade back, pick up more valuable draft capital, and still be able to pick a quarterback that Sean loves. Because I'm going...
What if that guy fails, though? Then it's not a successful night.
Well, of course, it's not a successful night. But I'm going into this draft, like it or not, Sean Payton's the guy in here. Sean Payton's the guy. Sean Payton's the guy in charge. Sean Payton has the power. You brought Sean, you traded for Sean Payton. You're paying Sean Payton all that money because of what he did in New Orleans. And what did he do in New Orleans? He won 10 games a year for 15 years. He built one of the top offenses in the NFL year after year. He developed a relationship with Drew Brees. It was one of the best quarterback coach relationships in NFL history. That's who you brought here. So I go into this with putting my trust in Sean. So my hope is that Sean finds a quarterback that he loves in the first round that he can trade back for and still get while accumulating more draft capital. That would be the home run for me for tonight.
Yeah, trading back would be huge for me. And then in your trade back, finding a starter in the first round and a starter in the second round that, you know, signed second contracts, that'd be that's a home run. But, you know, the other thing about the draft, and you mentioned some teams do it better than other teams, it's not only finding the guy to be that long-term starter, but it's the salary certainty that to me is the big, you know, for the next 4 years, I've got this, 3 or 4 years, I've got this guy under contract, and it's going to be a manageable salary. That way we can build the rest of our team around that guy.
What do you got, Fever?
I have a question, hypothetically, to move up.
To move up?
Yep. Okay. So if the Jets were willing to move up,
the Jets,
and we wanted Brock Bowers. So that's two spots.
Right.
Would you trade, swap picks, trade Pat Surtain?
What would the move have to be that you'd be willing to give up Patrick Surtain? Is there a move? Mark, would you be willing to include Patrick Surtain in a deal to, if that's what it took to move up to 3 or 4?
Would I be willing to? Yeah. If you've got a quarterback that you think is your guy, then yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely as well.
Yeah, so basically there's in the chart, if you're looking at the draft capital chart, going from 12 to 10 is 100 points. So then you're talking about 100 points. There's a difference of 100 points there. So you're looking at, let me see, you got to get down to the end of the third round, beginning of the fourth round, is so you'd have to trade a very last third round.
So you swap picks in a third round, late
and
third
you
round.
You give them a late third round.
Yeah, you don't have to do Patrick Surtain. But as far as Johnny, your point about bringing up Surtain, again.
Well, I think the idea would be to swap picks and then try to get more draft capital in return if you wanted to try to move back up in this draft.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Because if you just swap picks, then you own the next pick you have is until the third round.
Yeah, but if you're talking about the crapshoot nature of these picks, the last thing I want to do is include Patrick Surtain in a deal just to acquire more draft capital. I already got a sure thing. Why do I want to trade a sure thing just to get more draft capital, by the way, later in the draft that is part of this giant crapshoot?
By the way, just on these draft charts and why these things don't really work. So the draft pick for the Broncos at 12 is considered 1,200 points. To move up to Arizona, it's 1,800 points. So it's only a 6-point different or 600-point different, which means that's the end of the first round pick.
Plus your pick. Yeah.
But when people are talking about, they're saying this year's first rounder and the next two.
Right.
This chart,
which by the way was put together by Tech Schramm in Dallas back in the day. Was he the guy that put it together? And it kind of became the gold standard that all teams follow is this value chart. So when you're trying to make a deal, every pick in the draft has a certain point value that goes with that pick. And so the idea is if you're trying to move up to get a pick that's worth this many points, you got to make sure you're trading a bunch of picks that equal those points. But I think that only really works once you probably get past the first round or once you get past maybe the first 10 or 12 picks in the draft. I think once you get past that, then it is all about the value charts matching up. But when you're talking about first round picks that high, I think that gets thrown out the window and teams assess their own value to it. So, but no, as far as moving up, I go right back to what I just said about you brought Sean Payton here for a reason. Like it or not, he's here. And he's here for a reason. And if there's a quarterback that he absolutely loves, he's not going to move up from 12 to 3 to take whatever's there.
To take whatever's
he's
left
over.
He's got
one guy in mind. And if he has that guy in mind and he's absolutely convinced that this guy is going to be his Drew Brees, well, this is why you brought him here. And if that's the case, let him fire all the guns. Put Patrick Surtain in the deal. Give up some first-round picks. Because if he's right,
who cares?
Who cares? And if he's wrong, well,
he's getting fired.
He's going to get fired, and you put all your stock in him anyway. Let him do his job. Let him do his thing. Let him do what you brought him here for. And if that's what he believes in, let him do it. And if that includes trading Patrick Surtain, do it. I wouldn't think twice. Cecil Lammy is going to be joining us coming up. By the way, I've decided, I've unless something comes along and blows me away, I'm going with the browbeater.
The browbeater?
For Jamal's shot.
Like that?
I will look back 20 years from now. The browbeater, because it was so, because you beat the Lakers. Anthony Davis, who's just so easy from a sports hate standpoint to hate.
Yes, he is.
He's so dislikable. And to see Jamal hit the shot over him, and then to see him go tumbling into
the bench,
the Nuggets bench with this, I can't believe this is happening look, is what. If it was Jamal hitting that shot over Hachimura, it wouldn't have the same effect for me.
Hachimura.
Okay? If it was him hitting it over Tayshaun Prince, it wouldn't have the same...
Torian,
excuse me. It wouldn't have the same kind of impact. But the fact that it happened over Anthony Davis, and Davis ends up in the bench, that's what makes it so outstanding. So I can't...
Oh, yeah.
I can't ignore Anthony Davis's role in this. So from now on, for me, it's the browbeater.
Hoochie.
You know what also has been overlooked for good reason because of that shot? But I think it was the offensive possession right before that. The Aaron Gordon save for the ball to go out of bounds for the pass to go to MPJ to hit that three
was
massive.
Oh, there were so many. The fingerprints were all over that comeback. The MPJ shot was just nails.
Mm-hmm.
Nails.
Yes.
Got balls, man.
If we trade Sertan to draft one of these quarterbacks, we had better be in serious Super Bowl contention in 2 to 3 seasons. Between giving our first and second round pick for our coach and more assets to move up, I expect to be in the Super Bowl, if not close. I don't know if it'd be within 2 to 3 seasons, but no, I agree with you, Texter. If Sean did that kind of a move, then that quarterback has to deliver a Super Bowl in order for it to.
Isn't that have worked? Isn't that why you brought Sean here in the first place?
Yes.
Whether you draft a quarterback or not, I expect this team to be competitive and be fighting for a Super Bowl in 2 to 3 years anyhow.
Exactly.
Regardless of who they take this year.
Put it this way.
It's a process.
If we were talking about this whole idea about them moving up from 12 to 3, for example,
mm-hmm.
and giving up all this draft capital, maybe even including Patrick Sertan in it to make the move, if John Elway was still running the Broncos or if George Payton was still running the Broncos, I'd say hell no. Hell no.
Right.
But based on what Sean Payton did in New Orleans, that's why you brought him here. And if you're going to give him all this responsibility, let him flex.
Yeah. I agree.
And I certainly have more confidence in him flexing than I would John Elway or George Payton. So correct. Let him do it.
Correct. But let him go peacock.
Right.
Right? Peacock's got to fly.
Do they fly? Or they kind of jump around. NFL draft party going on tonight. Can't wait. Mark's going to be right in the middle of it from 4 to 6. Got a special roundtable at Dave and Buster's, I-25 and Colorado. Zach's going to be hosting it with Stink, Brandon Stokely, and Philip Lindsay. Then from 6 to 10, we got James Palmer, John Davis, and Cecil Lammy taking you through the rest of the draft. So that's today starting at 4. You are free and invited, cordially invited, to come on by and hang out. Speaking of Cecil Lammy, he joins us next as he put out his first and only mock draft this morning. Let's tear it apart next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Look, I just flipped the switch.
I love Cecil Lammy's style. Cecil's not one of those guys that puts out like 8 mock drafts during the course of the whole mock draft. No. He does one, and one only, and it's on the morning of the draft.
You know what it's called?
What?
The Key.
Ooh. Cecil, you have a very high mock draft boo rating.
Yeah, you do.
Which is balls over opponents.
Yeah. So.
How you doing, my man?
Let's do it, man. I couldn't sleep last night. It's an annual tradition, right? So I go to bed about 1. I wake up at about 4:30. I'm going through my morning skincare routine, and I'm thinking, why isn't there a Mark Schlereth product that I can buy that is a skincare product? Stink, I'm giving you another million-dollar idea, baby.
Yeah.
Like, call it Don't Stink, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like Lumi, but it's for guys, right? And so I'm going through my skincare routine. I'm like, I got to talk to Schlereth and Evans. I got to get this off my chest.
Hold on a second. Talk about burying the lead.
What's that?
You have a morning skin routine?
I'm trying to look like Mark Schlereth in the porcelain skin. I'm failing at that, but like I try. That's why I need a Mark Schlereth product.
You have
but
a skincare routine, huh? Okay.
Call it Don't Stink, because that's what the Broncos need to do today. Don't stink, all right? Don't stink it up. Go get the guy. Don't worry. I love what you're saying, Mike. That I don't care. What's the price? Oh, my God. It doesn't matter. What's the price? Now, I do know this, and I haven't even put this on Twitter, the most important thing ever. Howie Roseman wants to move up with the Denver Broncos. The Eagles are at 22. The Broncos are at 12. Howie's got a player in mind. I'm not going to tell you who the player is. So there's an offer to move back already, if you would like. Howie's working the phones. He's trying to move up for the Eagles. Of course, it's kind of what he does every single year. But I'm saying forget that. There's another word I could use there, but like forget that. I'm saying move up and get your guy. If Sean Payton did fall in love with a guy, perhaps J.J. McCarthy, make the moves and go get him. And I think there's an opportunity there. The Broncos don't have to move up that far, depending on what New England does at 3.
You have the Broncos taking Bo Nix at 12.
Yes.
Is Bo Nix the 12th best player? Is that where he should go? Because you put all this stuff together. Where should Bo Nix go?
Bo Nix has been a first-round pick for 2 years. And I've heard people say they would overdraft him. That's not the case at all. He's a top 15 pick. And he's a top 15 player in this draft. And this draft has about 20 to 22 players that are actual legitimate first-round players. J.J. McCarthy, who I mentioned, I have a high second-round grade on him. So does the best draft analyst that I believe is out there, Dane Brugler from The Athletic. He has a high second-round grade on J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy might go in the top five. Okay, but Bo Nix has been a first-rounder for 2 years. It's not overdrafting him to take him at 12. The word supercomputer is used and tossed around by scouts that I talked to when discussing Bo Nix and his processor. And while Drake May is failing during the interview process with teams, I still don't think May falls again. New England at three is the tricky part here. I don't think May falls like some people are saying, but May is not impressing at all in team interview process. He's a little too aw shucks for some teams out there. On the flip side, Bo Nix is impressing. Impressing scouts, impressing GMs, impressing with that mind for this game. And, oh, he doesn't have the arm. Okay, it goes much further beyond that. I'm kind of sick and almost even disgusted when all, oh, has he got the big arm? He's gonna, okay, that doesn't really matter. Can you make the throw? Do you know where it's going? Do you know what to do with the ball when you've got it, right? I'd way rather take the guy that's smart and accurate over the guy like Drake May who's got the big arm and he can run. Like, okay, that's great. But does he know what to do? Like, Bo Nix does know what to do, and it's evident. I'm going to give you a stat. 8.9 yards per attempt under pressure. Number one by a rocket in college football last year. Caleb Williams was 3.9 yards per attempt under pressure. So if you pressure Bo Nix, oh, he throws a bunch of screens. True. But when you pressure him, he goes to kill you. He goes for the jugular. And I like that about this kid.
All right, 5 years from now, look into your crystal ball.
Mm.
Biggest bust factor of the quarterback group and the biggest, you know, can't miss prospect of this group.
Yeah, the biggest can't miss prospect of this group. The biggest bust, let's start there. It's May. It's Drake May. First off, he's not ready. Okay, so people like, we're going to draft Drake May and he's going to sit for a year behind Jacoby Brissett or Sam Darnold or whoever gets him. I know the Vikings really want him. The Patriots have said and emphasized they will take him at three. I don't necessarily believe that, but it's weird because I'm only talking to Patriots guys just this year because Belichick's gone. They never really talked when Belichick was there. Wouldn't even say good morning. So anyway, Drake May, highest bust factor. That one's easy. Best can't miss, honestly, it might be Bo Nix. Now, he doesn't have the ceiling of Jaden Daniels. My number one quarterback in this draft is Jaden Daniels. That ceiling is astronomical. It's like multi-MVP ceiling for Jaden Daniels. Now, he does run like he's, you know, Josh Allen or Cam Newton, and he's, you know, 40 pounds lighter than those guys, so that's a concern. I don't really think it's Caleb. I think the Bears screw up Caleb. I don't care about the pink purse or anything like that. I think the Bears screw him up. And then Michael Penix actually would be on that next level. Injuries are the largest concern with him, obviously. But if we talk about just slinging a rock, Michael Penix is arguably the best pure passer in this draft class. So the can't miss guys are probably Nix and Penix.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. You mentioned Howie Roseman of Philly trying to move up from 22. Do you see any scenario where the Broncos could trade back to 22 and still have Nix on the board?
I would say no, because the Los Angeles Rams like Bo Nix. So for everyone out there, and I know the Giants, who J.J. McCarthy was on Rich Eisen's show, and he's like, well, the Giants, they talked to me a lot, and if I were to guess, they'd pick me. Well, from what I know is they're bluffing on QB. The Giants are going to go Malik Nabers if he's there at number 6 overall. But they have done the most work on Bo Nix. The most work that has been done on by the Giants on a quarterback is Bo Nix. So if you move back, well, you're in danger of the Giants moving back into the first round and getting Bo Nix. Sean McVay loves him. So let's just put this together, because I know there's some people out there that don't really like Bo Nix. They don't want the Broncos to get Bo Nix. Well, guess what? Sean McVay likes him. Sean Payton may like him. And the Giants, I know, whatever you think of Brian Daboll, but like those guys like him as well. Like he's well-liked by some teams. Doesn't fit everywhere. Fits in Denver. So you could move back with Howie at 22, but the problem is the Rams are there at 19. And they could just take Bo Nix as the successor to Matthew Stafford. Nix is ready to go now. Other players aren't that, but he's ready to go now. The Rams could be your biggest problem area if you do move back. The Jaguars want to move up for a receiver. The Colts want to move up for either a corner or a receiver, most likely a receiver. So there are a couple of teams behind Denver, Colts at 15, Jacksonville at 17, that want to move up. But it's like, okay, you could move back a little bit and get Bo Nix, but don't move back too far because Sean McVay's right there.
Finally, Cecil, if the Broncos stay at 12 and do not take a quarterback,
ooh,
of the players that will be available to them at 12, who would you recommend they take?
Yeah, I would say this. My guess is that it'd be an edge player. Okay, so get ready for that if that happens. I hope it doesn't. I hope tonight is the night we see the future Broncos quarterback. It's one of those, like, this is not a drill type moments. That's what's going to happen tonight. We're making history tonight.
This is
tonight.
Not a drill.
Exactly. That's what's happening tonight. A new era for Broncos football. If it's not, then you're going edge, and, you know, I doubt Dallas Turner would be there. Atlanta really likes him at 8. He's my number one edge this year. I've talked about Jared Verse being a guy that I like. Lati Latu from UCLA, if he's healthy, he's a talented edge player. And the God's honest truth is, even with Drew Sanders playing edge this year, the Broncos have a bunch of B guys. You need the alpha. You need the A guy. You need that, oh, my God, this is the guy. And it's rush and cover. As great as Pat Surtain is, he'd be even better if you could actually get after the quarterback. They got a bunch of good guys. How about a great guy in this draft? Now, that's if they don't get a quarterback and they get an edge. That's my guess. But for the love of God, if it's not a quarterback, I won't pull out my hair. It's too beautiful for
it
that.
It is, but so beautiful.
It'll be pretty stressful.
John Wickish right now.
Yeah, it is. Full John.
Juan Wick.
Juan yeah. Wick. Yes.
Juan Wick.
Juan Wickish. Cecil, you've been doing this for a long time, so I love your belief. I love your confidence. I love the work you put in. So it's why I can say this, because you're my guy. But are you as high on Bo Nix as you were on Paxton Lynch?
I will say this, and going back, and here's the thing, like, I don't ever shy
You've
away.
You've grown from so much since then.
Well, yes, and it's all about, like, learning, right? Learning from your mistakes, and I will, to protect myself. Like, I had Dak Prescott with the same grade. I had both of them with the first rounder, and John Davis will tell you I was telling everyone to draft Chris
you
Jones
were,
that year.
Yeah.
I forgot that, and then John reminded me.
You did love Dak. I do remember that clearly.
Yeah. So the thing is like, okay, talk to a guy. Can you just talk to a guy? Because if you would have just talked to Paxton, and, you know, I get very limited time at the Combine or the Senior Bowl, but for teams, just talk to a guy. If he's not paying attention, if he's watching John Gruden's quarterback camp because he's on and he's not talking to your GM, he's probably not the guy you want to draft. You know, you talked about Bo Nix was a jerk to me at the Senior Bowl. I loved it, man, because I asked him about working from under center because he's not real good working under center. He does a little bunny step I don't like. And he was a jerk to me. And I'm like, cool, I want that alpha. I talked to Chris Harris on Friday, right? Had him on my show. What did Chris Harris say? You got to have swagger. A guy like Bo Nix has some swagger. So if I were to put them in the same class, if I were to put him in the same class, he would be graded higher. But yes, I did have Paxton and Dak and Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. From Wentz was my number one quarterback that year. So, yeah, that was an interesting year.
Well, you got some people fired up. One text, Cecil convinced me. Bo Nix is the guy. So, all right. We'll see. Check out all of Cecil's mock draft at denversports.com. Cecil, we'll definitely hear from you tomorrow. We'll hear from you later on today and tonight at Dave and Buster's. Look forward to it. Thanks, pal.
I love and appreciate you both.
All right. Yeah, there is Juan Wick. Cecil Lammy joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. All right.
Yeah, skincare. I want to know what your skincare
regime
is.
Well, apparently, John, Fever has a nighttime skincare routine.
Yeah.
What goes into that?
Just cleanser in the shower and then moisturizer afterwards. That's it.
Well, it sounds pretty like simple. Cecil's is a little bit more advanced.
Still skincare routine.
You think Cecil's mixing in some active ingredients?
Yes.
Some exfoliants.
I think there's some exfoliants. There's like some cocoa butter.
I'll do like a clay mask once every like 2 months. I'll just get like the blackheads in the dirt.
So now all of a sudden you want to make fun of me waxing my back in the summer when he's doing a clay mask?
No, that is way worse.
Wow.
A clay mask?
Yeah. Dude, waxing your back to go hang out with your high school buddies?
It's just for the summer. It's just for the summer.
Yeah,
it's
but a, you do it right summer. Before you go hang
and
out
and
with
you
your
do it to prep
buddies.
To go see with your
Well, no, it's just because it's the first time I'm going to be around water. So, and then my shirt's going to be off. It's the first time I do it.
First time I'm going to be around water and my,
well, my boys.
My boys.
Oh, man. I was naked.
I do not do anything for my skin.
No, I know, and you have great skin.
To be fair, my mom was an esthetician, so.
Oh, okay.
That's why I started.
I know. I borrow soap, but I don't wash my face before bed.
Yeah. So you do a clay mask every 2 months?
On average, yeah.
Really?
Well, I'm Hispanic. I'm oily.
I got to ask, is there anybody else out there on the Ramoslaw.com text line?
Clay mask.
A guy. Who does a clay mask? I need to know. And so does
Maybe
fever.
Maybe I should do a clay mask.
Got a lot of oil in my skin,
Maybe
Mike.
We should all do it. Predictions coming up.
Prediction.
Next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Well, I guess it's that time. That time of the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
It is time for, you guys got it? You ready? It's time for our predictions.
Prediction? Yes, prediction. Hey.
Hey, woman! I don't know why we always put that last part in there, but hey, why not? Let's start with Nuggets Lakers tonight. Game 3. Tip off sometime around after 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock tip-ish. 8-ish. I think the Nuggets are energized from the browbeater. That comeback, I think they go handle their business tonight in L.A. They get a victory tonight to go up 3-0. Over the L.A. Lakers. And I think this time is where Jamal, who has struggled the first two games of this series, plays like Jamal for the entirety of the game.
Hmm. So the Nuggets win, sounds like, pretty convincing.
Yeah, double digit.
Wire-to-wire like, type fashion, huh?
Yeah, 11-12.
You think the Lakers have been broken?
I think the Lakers are broken. That look on the Brow's face, we sitting in the Nuggets bench. That's the overall look of the Lakers right now.
As much as I love to bust the Lakers' chops, I do think they have some pride, and I think they'll come out with some residual pride from what they were able to do in those first two games, which is, you know, come out and play well at the start. I think they'll do that again. I do. But at some point, again, and Michael Malone talked about this. He said, it's not the way I would choose to do it. He said, but I think we're better trailing. He said, my dad, who would have turned, I think he said 89 yesterday, used to always tell me, he goes, I hate you guys with a lead. You get passive. You get complacent.
Yeah.
You stop doing what you did. I don't like you guys with a lead. That's what Malone's father used to say to him. And the Nuggets have clearly shown that they're pretty comfortable coming from behind. Yeah. So I think as long as the Nuggets, you know, withstand the early push coming from the Lakers and at some point start to assert themselves, the moment that they start to assert themselves, the Lakers will crumble. Lakers are going to go in this with the idea that they're hoping for the best, but they expect the worst. And I think you'll see the hoping for the best part early on, but the expecting the worst at the end. Nuggets get the win.
Okay.
So we both think they win, but in different ways.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So we got the Nuggets winning. Prediction for the Broncos tonight. Not what you hope happens, what you think happens.
My prediction is they trade back. They trade back. They pick up a second rounder. And trade back and take
Now, you just had Cecil on, who insists that the way these quarterbacks are climbing, you know, the herd mentality, overdraft a quarterback thing, that you will not be able to trade back to 22, let's say, and still be able to get a quarterback.
They trade back, draft a football player, and take a quarterback in the second round. That would be tomorrow.
Are you trying to make me pass out?
Yes.
Are you trying to make me pass out?
Give you the vapors.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, my God. Is it getting hot in here?
Yeah.
Somebody crack a window. I'm feeling a little flushed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. I think they stay at 12 and draft a football player.
Okay.
And then I think they get a quarterback in day two. Second or third round.
You either go edge, tackle, or corner.
I think there's been enough smoke out there with the Broncos and corners. I think they go corner.
Terrion Arnold
or the Kenyon Mitchell kid.
Mitchell.
Yeah. Yep. They draft a...
Oh, my gosh. They draft the overall want.
Head explosions around Colorado will be unbelievable if that happens.
Yes.
If they stay at 12, especially if Bo Nix and or Michael Penix are still on the board.
Oh, my God. If that happens.
And then they took a football player? Wow. You're going to be at Dave and Buster's. I can only imagine what the response would be.
It's going to be epic. Epic.
And I'm here for it.
No question.
And then we'll be here tomorrow morning breaking down Michael Pratt and Spencer Rattler.
The Rat Man. Yeah.
Oof.
Cecil does not like Spencer Rattler.
He does not. Oh, yeah, we should have got to that. Well, if they don't take a quarterback tonight, we'll have Cecil on tomorrow to ask him about, Cecil, yeah. They didn't take any of these quarterbacks, so tell us about the next wave.
Then I'll say, my favorite is this Rattler guy. Guy's a real... He slithers. Strikes.
I'm vengeance.
No, Cecil does not like it.
Ah! All right, we'll see what happens. You're going to be at Dave and Buster's today. You're going to be part of the special round table between 4 and 6 with you and Stoke and Philip Lindsay. Zach Bye is going to be hosting, and that'll be at Dave and Buster's, I-25 in Colorado. You're all free to come on out.
I mean,
we'd love to have as many people as possible. Let's make this a huge party and have a bunch of you there ready to either celebrate or just... cry in your beer if they don't take a quarterback.
Oh, people go crazy. They'll go crazy, Mike.
You blew it!
And I'm here for it. Because I am a really, really gracious loser, but I'm a bad winner. And if I see an adult crying over the quarterback thing, I will make fun of you. I just want you to know that.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, yes, I would.
Actually, you might. I would. You might.
There's no question.
You might.
I would do that.
You might do that.
Would it floor you if Williams didn't go one? Bears pull a complete audible, go like Jaden Daniels?
No, it wouldn't floor me.
I think by now we'd have heard that. Don't you?
That's why I asked.
I don't think so. I think it's Williams. But then after that... And who might be the Will Levis of this quarterback group? Remember, you may have forgot Will Levis. You had plenty of people mocking Will Levis to the Raiders at I think like 6 last year.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. He ended up sliding all the way to the second round.
It's because people got the fact that he puts mayonnaise in his coffee.
So if somebody drops of the quarterbacks, who do you think it is?
Who do I think will drop? If anybody drops, I think it'll be
it'll be Drake May.
Yeah. Drake May is. But how far will he, like how, he's not, not dropping out of the first.
You're right.
Anybody could drop into the second round.
I don't think any of these quarterbacks drop out of the first round.
Not one of them?
Nope.
Michael Penix or Bo Nix. Neither of them drop out of the first round.
Well, okay. I won't go there. No, I don't know about, they might.
Yeah.
Because they're still, no, I've never seen anybody talk about Drake May as a potential second round pick.
No.
I've seen plenty of people talk about Penix and Drake May. All right. Dover and Stoke coming your way next.